So one of the signature practice of our tradition, in fact, maybe even our namesake, is Dutanga practice.
Right.
So some of them are built into our lifestyle already, but can you talk about like what the purpose of it is and taking when we take on additional practices?
Right. Yeah, I mean, some are sort of what we take on, some are what we, are sort of part and parcel of how we function as a monastery. Say, like eating in our bowls it's like a Dutanga practice, but it's what we do, and so that a lot of it is just the so much of it's around simplicity and kind of going against the grain of what we prefer, what we like, and none of them are extreme. And sometimes they're called ascetic practices, but you know they're much more setting a tone of simplification and just not following a normal habit pattern, and that's really important in terms of training, because so much of the training that we do, and why the strength that we end up cultivating or stability is the ability to be able to be comfortable in many different situations, and simplicity really helps with that. Or the occasions of putting forth effort for some reason or other, or having to cope with uncertainty like taking on a Pindabhat practice where one doesn't receive any food other than what one receives on Pindabhat. So then there's a daily uncertainty there. Am I going to get anything to eat? Am I going to get, even if I get something to eat, is it going to be what I like? And even if it's not fully sort of formed in the mind, then it's still kind of there. And I can remember doing Pindabhat practice, right? And we're just and then it's amazing how, especially as a junior monk, and then how far the eye goes out to see if there's going to be anything left for me, on the tray or the whatever the person is on Pindabhat making offerings, and it's just sort of the eye just goes there, so desire, fear, worry, one of the practices of eating everything in your alms bowl. It's not taking anything out and putting it in your bowl lid and separating stuff out. And it's food for a day and a night, and so that it's changing one's relationship to basic things like food and shelter and robes and sleep. I mean, that's one of the Dutangas of not lying down to sleep. And it's the sleeping sitting up. So there's these basic sort of things that are part of the human condition that we start to, once we're sort of settled and comfortable in our precepts and our training, and you pay attention to how to push that envelope a bit. What can I do? And it's they're voluntary, and two, they're something that sometimes you only take on for short periods of time, say like a Pindabhat practice. Here that you once a week we go Pindabhat. That's a tough practice, And so that's what one was doing. Then it would be untenable. And sometimes some monks will make that determination before they go out on Pindabhat and just accept eat that day what they receive on alms round. So it's sort of working with that, experimenting with it. So a lot of it is experimenting, three row practice, which is really tough, and then say like Tenkun Danyo did practice with working with that, and then sort of okay, how to just not be using a different kinds of sweaters and socks and stuff, and it's just okay. It's an experiment, and sort of see what comes up, and how do I use it to help refine my ability to be comfortable with conditions that we actually have little control over, and in that life. I mean, we don't have much control over life, and so then being able to work with some of these practices that start to highlight that, or doing sitter's practice, and it's we get so much refuge out of being able to annihilate ourselves in sleep, and then if you don't lie down, it's not there, it usually takes about a week to start to feel comfortable sitting up and sleeping. And I remember that the first time I took it on, I did it as that first vasa at Watnana Chat, and determined the vasa. I could spend 3 months and not lie down. So then, and as it got toward the end, I was sort of fantasizing. Oh, can't wait till this is over, and then I can lie down. and then the end of the vasa comes, and I get to lie down. And you're like, oh man, it hurts. just having a body is painful. and you're able to actually get used to a lot, and that's something that is the Dutanga start to give you a certain flexibility or capacity to not be intimidated by the uncertainties of existence, and there's a real kind of stability or solidity that comes from those Dutangas, and you have to be measured in how you do it, because you can remember the first. Often at the beginning of Vasa at Wat Pa Pong, Ajahn Chah, one of the things he used to do was just go over the the Dutanga practices and remind everybody what they are, and then so as anybody interested in taking on certain practices and of course apart from sort of his hands shoot up, you know, yeah, I'll take them all. You know, he just made himself so miserable. I said, you got points for enthusiasm, but not much for kind of discernment on that. So because it isn't a competition or something. It's really those are practices, and of course they say some are kind of part and parcel of our day-to-day life in most forest monasteries, and they'll take them on in different ways. So I was just mentioning the other day of Bungdam Mahabua's monastery, where the whole monastery is the basis of the monastery is a Dutanga practice of just eating what one gets on Pindaba. And that would have been an austere practice in the early days of establishing the monastery later years, and even when I first went there probably late 1970s, and Dhamma Mahabua was so respected for so long, and then people were lined up out the front of the monastery. It was but still, you know, in the end, what you've got is just what's in your, like you have to keep dumping your alms bowl out, and you end up with what is in your alms bowl, and you go back into the monastery, and take it out and arrange your bowl. So it's hard to you still don't get what you want, you know, in the sense of. Absolutely, exactly. Yeah. So it's a good way of taking on and investigating the nature of desire, nature of our how do we make it a lifestyle again? Because this is you really want to be cultivating and developing the practice in a way that you recognize. So this is. This is how I want to live for the long term, and you know, part of the part of living a monastic life is also, how do I keep challenging myself? How do I not get in a rut? How do I not get too comfortable? It's important because it's in our it's just in our nature to habituate ourselves to pretty much anything. So then being willing to challenge that, investigate it, and reflect and see what are the attachments that do come up. What are the kinds of fears and discomfort that come up, and how do I work with it? So those are some aspects of Dutanga.